Our text for today comes from Psalm 32, verses 1 through 11, and can be found on page 506 in the Old Testament section of the Pew Bible. Happy are those whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Happy are those to whom the Lord imputes no iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no deceit. While I kept silence, my body wasted away through my groaning all day long. For day and night your hand was heavy upon me. My strength was dried up as by the heat of summer. Then I acknowledged my sin to you, and I did not hide my iniquity. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the guilt of my sin. Therefore, let all who are faithful offer prayer to you. At a time of distress, the rush of mighty water shall not reach them. You are a hiding place for me. You preserve me from trouble. You surround me with glad cries of deliverance. I will instruct you and teach you the way you should go. I will counsel you with my eye upon you. Do not be like a horse or a mule without understanding, whose temper must be curbed with bit and bridle, else it will not stay near you. Many are the torments of the wicked, but steadfast love surrounds those who trust in the Lord. Be glad in the Lord and rejoice, O righteous, and shout for joy, all you upright in heart. This is the word of the Lord. Amen.
So I've been away for 4 or 5 Sundays in a row, which is pretty unusual, but with mission trips and travel and everything, it was a busy summer that way. And when I'm away and I meet people and I say, you know, I'm a pastor, oh, you're away, you know, this Sunday, you know, who preaches for you? And I just want to say, what a gift to be a part of this congregation where there are so many people who are connected to our church, who stand up and are willing to preach God's word when I'm away, students from the seminary, elders, members of our own church, people in our community, other members of our staff. And I just get so much feedback when I come back about, you know, you better get back soon because you're going to be out of a job because so-and-so did such a wonderful job sharing God's word last week. So I just want to say thank you to all of the people who are willing to do that when I'm away and do such a great job with that really important responsibility of teaching from Scripture. Would you pray with me this morning? God, we give you thanks for this day and this time and this opportunity to learn from you and from your word. Humble us and open us to receive the truth that you have for us, because we know it has the power to set us free, in Christ's name. Amen. So the Sundays I was here this summer, I decided to teach out of the book of the Psalms. It's sort of an unusual book to preach from because it's really a book about worship. It's a book of poetry. It's a song book, the hymnal of the people of Israel. But there is so much great truth and theology contained in the words of these ancient songs and poems that I just really love to reflect on what they have to say. And so we kind of draw that series to a conclusion this morning, looking at Psalm 32. Now, some of you, like me, are old enough to remember the groundbreaking sitcom All in the Family with Archie and Edith Bunker. Do you remember Archie Bunker, some of you? If you don't remember, you've probably heard about Archie Bunker, America's most famous bigot. It was the most politically incorrect show ever to be on television. It's unbelievable that it was. I mean, they just made fun of every ethnic group and crossed every boundary. But at the heart of it really was the relationship between Archie and his family, particularly his wife, Edith. And in one very memorable episode, Archie finally goes too far. I mean, he's always putting Edith down, making fun of her, calling her a dingbat. And in this episode, I don't remember what it was, but his cruelty and his unkindness toward her crossed some line. And Edith said, "I had enough." And she said, "Archie, until you say you're sorry, I will not talk to you." Archie laughs it off. "You're not going to do that. You know, you won't follow through on that." He continues to berate her, but Edith sticks to her guns. And she makes him his supper, plops it down, doesn't say a word, walks right by him. He's trying to break the ice and trying to make light of the situation, but she'll have none of it. And her silence goes on for quite a few days until Archie finally realizes he's met his match, that he needs to apologize. And so he says, "Edith, there's something I've got to tell you. Edith, I need to speak to you." And she walks up to him. "Edith, I'm so, I'm really, are you sorry, Archie?" "Yeah." "Oh, Archie." It's one of the most touching scenes of forgiveness. And yet it kind of gets at the heart of how hard it is for us to come to grips with our involvement in the brokenness of our lives. It's very hard to say that we're sorry. It's very hard to really own up to our own involvement, our own responsibility with the way our lives have become. It's very difficult, in other words, to confess our sin. Really. To really mean it. To come to grips with our own involvement. And yet we know that confession is good for the soul. Confession is good for the soul. Not only is it good for the soul, it's essential for the soul. To confess our sins, to come clean with our own shortcomings, our own problems, our own missteps, is absolutely essential for us to be the people God created us to be. Without really owning up to, taking that hard look in the mirror and coming clean, we will never become the people God wants us to be. And in fact, often when we look at the problems in our lives, if we trace them back to their deepest root, the problem, the root cause of the problem, is our broken relationship with God. Sin leads to a multitude of other problems in our lives. And that's why this psalm that was written thousands of years ago, is such a probing insight into our human condition. He begins by stating the positive. Happy are those whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Happy are those to whom the Lord imputes no iniquity and in whose spirit there is no deceit. Happy are those whose sin is forgiven. Now, what is the psalmist saying? It's not happy are those who have no sin. He's acknowledging the fact that every single person is flawed. Every single person has transgressed God's best intention for their lives. Somewhere along the line, we've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, as the Apostle Paul would write thousands of years after this. But happy are those, healthy are those, well off are those who are able to come to grips with the fact that they have sinned, and they bring those shortcomings to God, and they experience this amazing gift of forgiveness that God is all too quick and certain to offer to us. Happy are those whose transgression, whose sin is forgiven. You know, that happiness that God wants for you, for all of us, seems to escape us, doesn't it? We know that God wants us to be happy, but the fact of the matter is, often we find ourselves in some sort of turmoil or some sort of dis-ease. Sometimes it's of our body. Sometimes it's in our relationships. Sometimes it's just simply in that feeling of angst, of stress, of tension. Things aren't quite right. And the question is, what's going on there? Why are we feeling that way? Why am I not doing better? Is my body telling me there's something wrong? There is growing evidence and tremendous evidence that there is a very close connection between our physical health and our emotional health and our spiritual health. These things are deeply interconnected in our lives. And when our relationship with God, our acknowledgement of God, our walk with God is off kilter or off base or non-existent, it's extraordinary how that can lead to these other issues that are happening in our lives. Now, let me be very clear about something. Some people get sick because of no fault of their own. Illness is simply part and parcel of the brokenness of the world in which you and I live. But it is also true that there are some people who are physically sick because of some unforgiven sin that they haven't really dealt with in their lives. And maybe it was a sin that was thrust upon them, or perhaps it was something of their own choosing. But the unreconciled broken parts of our lives can lead us to become physically debilitated. We lose sleep. We don't take care of ourselves. And things begin to happen in our bodies. And that is evidently the situation of this ancient songwriter. He's talking about there's something wrong. He goes, when I kept silence, when I didn't take that hard look at myself, when I was unwilling to come to grips with the way I was living my life, when I kept silence, my body wasted away. Through my groaning all day long, my strength was dried up like the heat of the summer. You notice the grass in the last few weeks? Wow. Dried up, wasting away. The psalmist is saying, that's how I felt. That was my experience. Now, it probably had something to do with his physicality, but that wasting away, it may have been the wasting away of a relationship. Maybe his marriage just felt like it was drying up. His relationship with his kids. Maybe there were people out in the world that he felt were hounding him or taking advantage of him. We don't know exactly the condition, but he was able to recognize there is something going on in my life that I know is not the way God wants it to be. I am wasting away. I am drying up. And the question is, why? He held this in and he was keeping silent about it. He didn't want to come to grips with the situation. He didn't want to take that hard look in the mirror. And I think that is the situation, because often when our lives feel like they're wasting away or they're drying up, whether it's physical or emotional, the first thing we want to do is blame somebody for the way things are. We look around us and we look for somebody else who caused things to end up the way that they are. At least that's what I do. I don't know about you. You know, it's got to be somebody else's fault that I'm not further along in my career. It certainly couldn't be, because I spent most of high school playing video games instead of studying. It's got to be because somebody else isn't paying attention to my needs that my marriage isn't flourishing the way that it ought to be. It certainly couldn't be because I'm not paying enough attention to the person around me. We're so quick to point fingers and to blame, to look for some other scapegoat. And surely there are times when our lives have been made a mess by somebody else's misdeeds. Surely there are times when we truly are victims. And I am not overlooking that. But friends, isn't it also true that there are times when we have been the very cause of the problems that we are experiencing? We knew that the marriage wasn't all that it should be, but we let so much water go under the dam because we didn't want to rock the boat. We didn't want to have the hard conversation. We let things go. And now we get to this point where the marriage is dried up and we want to blame the other person, when you know that you had many opportunities to speak truth, but you didn't have the courage to do it. We wonder why our children are having so many problems, why they're acting out, looking for attention. But do we really want to look at the fact that maybe the problem was, when we should have been paying attention to them, we were paying attention to our device? And now their problems are actually symptoms of our dis-ease. Is it possible that some of our health issues are because we've clearly ignored some of the clear teachings that God has given us for moderation in what we eat, and the healthy things that God has given us that we ignore and substitute other things for? Somewhere along this line, this psalmist decided to stop blaming other people for his problems and take that hard look at himself. What he had done or not done, or the things that he had been the author of in his own life. And this amazing verse: "Then I acknowledged my sin to you, and I did not hide my iniquity." He comes clean before God. "And I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the guilt of my sin." God is so ready to forgive us of our sin. He demonstrated that by sending Jesus. That's what Jesus is all about. Jesus is God's absolutely get out of jail free card. God has wiped the slate clean. He took your sin upon himself, but we need to come to grips with the fact that we have misused that great gift and that we've continued to act selfishly and unkindly. There is such a release that comes. It's like water on a flower that's dried up. It's like a fresh beginning of a new school year. It's like hearing someone say, "Oh, Archie, It's like a weight that gets lifted off our shoulders. It's a fresh new start that God so much wants you to have. But we have to come clean. We've got to acknowledge and come to grips with our own shortcomings, with our own foibles. The psalmist goes on and says, don't be like a horse or a mule without understanding. You know, we're so much like Archie Bunker, aren't we? We don't want to admit that we might be wrong. There is an arrogance about ourselves, our lives, that we just have such a difficult time admitting that maybe we're the source of the problem. Maybe we're the cause. Don't be like a horse or a mule without understanding. You know, sometimes I run into people who are real chatterboxes. Have you guys ever, they just talk a lot. And they're the people who take the breath in the middle of the sentence. So that when they get to the end, they can start the next one without a break. So you can't ever get in. And, you know, I'm with a chatterbox, and all inevitably, somewhere in the 15 or 20 minute monologue, as I'm sitting there, you know, nodding, they'll finally say, you know I talk too much. And I'm like, if you know you talk too much, why don't you stop talking so much and give other people a chance to talk and listen, become, you know, ask some questions about the person you're with, show some interest in other people. Maybe that's why you're having a hard time with friendship, so that's why you had to come to your pastor, because nobody else would spend time with you. I'm just kidding. It's none of you. This was another church. The point is, you know, it's one thing to become aware of our sin, our culpability, but then if you're aware of it, but you don't do anything about it, that's empty. God is saying to you, there's something that you have to change. There's something, a difference, some dealing with your anger, dealing with your overspending, dealing with your lack of compassion, dealing with your inability to connect, whatever that thing is that you say, you know, this is my issue. I'm going to hold this in front of God. I'm going to confess this. I'm going to be really honest. I'm going to come clean. And then God says, you are forgiven now. What are you going to do with that gift? What are you going to do with the gift of forgiveness that has been freely given, but at a great, great price, my friends? It's one thing to acknowledge our sin, and it's another thing then to have the courage to step out and change. And God will give you that strength. Whatever it is, that secret sin that you've been hiding, that you've been holding on to, that's tearing you down, that's destroying your relationships, that's breaking the heart of the people around you and keeping you from being the person that God wants you to be. Whatever that thing is, God is here today to tell you, you can change. To acknowledge our sin, to experience the forgiveness of the guilt of that sin, to come clean, to say we're sorry, is the first step of a new beginning, a fresh start. And that is the gift that God has for you today. Lord, thank you so much for these ancient words that are still so true, so profoundly and convictingly true about us. Help us, God, to not only hear your word and learn from it, but to act upon it. I pray for my friends. And I ask God that you would bless them so they can flourish, each and every person here. Whatever is holding them back and bringing them down, whatever aspect of their life that they feel is wasting away, God, they would turn to you and through you find the strength to flourish. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.